Good morning, church. Welcome on this dreary Christmas Sunday. Thank you all for joining us this Sunday. I realize Ohio is in a state of grief this morning after the game last night. But thank you for being with us in the midst of your sadness. And Floyd, I'm with you right there. I'll give you a big hug. I was cheering for you Big Ten boys, that's for sure. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, we still have dollar chocolate bars available for our mission trip to Trickleby Cafe this summer. Nick Menapace will be selling those after the worship service. Please come find him if you're interested in some of those chocolate bars. Please get your year-end reports in as soon as possible if you haven't. Those are due by the end of... Actually, we need to have them published by next week, so as soon as you get those in, we'd like to be able to print that in the middle of the week, so that would be greatly appreciated. Usher and greeter sign-up is going around for January and February. Is that still out in the Narthex? If not, could somebody grab that for me? Thank you, Danielle. And we could pass that around. That would be greatly appreciated. And don't forget, our church council is coming around the corner before you know it. It will be January 19th. And it's a busy weekend, that weekend in the life of the church, because that Saturday we'll also be hosting the men's breakfast from 9 to 11, a great opportunity for us to support that wider ministry. And then please don't forget, next Sunday we have a youth Sunday as well. So an opportunity for our kids to have an activities and games and have the beanbag chairs up front during worship. We're hoping to possibly sled, but Mother Nature has had different plans for us all through December and January, so we will probably come up with an alternative activity, but it will be fun regardless. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning, Missy. Good
morning, Angie.
Good morning, Danielle. Hey, you got connection? You know everybody, you're a hairstylist. Good morning, Peyton. You got me, bro? Morning, Ron. Morning, Alicia. Morning, Linda. Morning, Riley. Morning, Aubrey. Morning, Joyce. Morning, G-Dan. Morning, Jacqueline. Morning, Stacy. Morning, John. Morning, Cheryl. Morning, Tiff. Good morning, Allie. You may remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 7. Let us say it together. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
you'll please stand for the call to worship. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord. Let us remember all that the Lord has done for us. In all our distress, there was no messenger or angel that saved us.
With his love, he redeemed us and became our Savior.
Please remain standing for our hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Be seated. We'll now turn our attention to our drawing of our 2020 watchwords. For those of you who aren't familiar with this tradition, this comes back hundreds of years to Zinzendorf and Herrenhut. And this started out, watchwords in the Moravian Church were something that Zinzendorf picked out each day for the congregation to meditate on. And these scriptures struck people so much that they were so profound that each of these families wanted a watchword daily to be able to meditate on. So it was out of this idea of selecting watchwords was born. So we'll take the opportunity first to select watchwords for ourselves as individuals. And remember, this is something for you to keep in your mind. Sometimes you keep it in your wallet to remind you once in a while, or maybe in the back of your phone case. I've seen people. But this is a scripture for you to think about, what is God looking at this text through me this year? How can I utilize these words of scripture that have been given to me? Because we as Moravians don't believe the Bible is something to fear, but it's something to interact with and to be in relationship with. So let us now take some time. We're going to draw, and then after we individually draw, I'm going to ask some people to come up and draw for some of the organizations within the church. All right, you all got a chance to pick out your own. I'll give you a chance before we do the organizations if anybody wants to share their watchword. So my watchword was Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. He is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. Would anybody else like to share theirs? Paige, what's yours? Very good one. Very good post-Christmas one. Amy?
Rejoice in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Cool. Very cool. Rylan? That's a good one. That's a very good one. Anybody else want to share one of theirs? Oh, yeah, Gina.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On Him we have set our hope.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like anything that ends in hope. Paula?
Mark 13:31. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away.
Ooh, I like that. Strong, resilient. Anyone else? Nobody? Go ahead, Daniel.
You are my witness, says the Lord. Isaiah 43:10.
Well, that's a good one. All right, you'll get an opportunity to share more of those. At this time, we're going to draw for some of our organizations within our church. So we're going to start with our joint board, and I figured I would give our secretary, who's coming off of our joint board, the opportunity to pick for our joint board. Go for it. You got to read it. That's Psalm 100, verse 5. Let's go elders. Elders would be next. Let's see. Who's here for more elders? Danielle, you're right here. Thank you very much. Yeah, that'd be perfect. She'll keep better organization than I ever could. Trustees, Mr. Floyd, will you pick it? Dwayne, can you read it for us? Perfect. Then CEC. Why don't we go ahead and let our CEC superintendent pick it.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Nice. You can go ahead and hold on. Our Sunday school will be next. Why don't we go ahead and let one of our students pick. Mr. Nicholas? All right, what was it from? Okay, Deuteronomy, perfect. Let's do music ministry / choir. We'll go ahead and let Angie pick that one. Well, that's a good one for the choir. Wow. I will give you some of my ears for that one. Women's board. Let's see. Why don't we go ahead and, Martha, why don't you go ahead and pick this one? That's a good one. Next will be our Food on the Fly ministry, which was just started this year. So, Delene, you get one more lucky one. That's a good one for an organization that serves quite a few people. Our next will be Cares and Prayers. Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and pick for us?
Lord, I rejoice in your salvation. 1 Samuel 2:1.
Oh, that's a good one. Next, actually, I'm in a good spot. Our deaners will go next, so I'll go ahead and let Jean Ann pick that one. Spiritual companioning, I'll pick for that. This is from 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us through grace, gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And then we got one more before we pick our congregational one. Ushers and greeters, Joyce and Rick, since you have the work today, we'll let you pick. Cool, that's a good one. Yes, Danielle. What's that? Sure, Concert That Cares is going to pick one. That's perfect.
Lord, let your mercy come to me that I may live. Psalm 119:77.
What a good watchword for a ministry that's focused on going outward and helping others. Now, traditionally, the pastor gets to pick the congregational one, but I'll give it to one of our youngest members today. Now, there is going to be no pressure on you, Brandon, but I have to preach on this text with no preparation whatsoever. So I need you to come through for me, buddy, okay? You got this? All right, you got this. You pick out whichever one you like. Nice, simple, and easy. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 1:5. This is for our congregation. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. I think that's a good one. Let's give Brandon a round of applause for taking our congregational one. I want to thank you all and really take this opportunity. You'll get more time throughout our worship service to kind of meditate on some of those texts. Sorry, I don't know where I put mine. And really look to see how God is working through those texts. Not every verse is going to be perfect for every person, but I was touched by going through these lists, just how many of them reach people, especially the organizations, our music ministry, and so many others. But there really is a great opportunity to connect to these and to pray and meditate on these. Even if you don't get these right now, maybe as you go throughout your year, it'll speak to you more throughout the year. So at this time, we're going to turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. And we think especially as we go to this new year, we think about new opportunities, new seasons, and new opportunities to give. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise. Pray together. Blessed Christ child,
Christmas Day has passed, but our love for you has not. Help us to remember that your salvation is a gift we receive on a daily basis and not just on special days throughout the year.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and reflection. We share prayers of joy with Mary Ann Creel's family, who welcomed in a grandson, Rohan Michael Guglielmi. Did I say that right? Guglielmi. Parents are Shelby and Tony. Rohan was born on Christmas Day, so we welcome this Christmas baby. What a gift that is to that family. We celebrate with mom and dad who are doing well and celebrating the joys of parenthood. We offer prayers for Bonnie Meese, health concerns. She is a friend of Rick and Joyce Swaldo. We also offer prayers for Karen, who is a friend of Jacqueline, who's been waiting for a heart transplant and is taking some further steps. She's been in intensive care unit for the past couple days. So we continue to pray for her strength, for her recovery, and that a heart is made available for her as well. We also share with you prayers for Linda Bonnell and for her family. Linda recently got the test results from her last scan, and they were very challenging, very difficult. She's got an uphill battle with her cancer. Her cancer has progressed quite a bit. So we continue to pray for her as she starts her chemo in a couple weeks, and know that we're surrounding her in prayer and love and support. Amy, you got a prayer? Absolutely. Safe travel, not just for Steve and Jackie. For those of you that don't know, they're out west visiting Patrick, their son, right now. So they're in the middle of all that winter weather that is coming there. But we pray for all the people in the Midwest, for North Dakota. We know Eric Renner's church is going to be hit pretty hard with some 15 inches of snow. And you know, if people from North Dakota go, wow, it's going to be quite the storm. So we continue to pray for all those people who are dealing with those effects, for the first responders who have to be the ones who step up and take care of people in the midst of difficult conditions. We also ask that you keep them in prayer. And lastly, prayers of joy once again for Erica Hansen Stafford and Charles Dalton IV, who will be married here on Tuesday. What a great opportunity. Charles is actually on his way from the Midwest to Ohio. He's in the Army right now. So we give prayers for not only his travel, but for this happy couple as they celebrate this blessed day, for Mother Tammy and for all her friends and family who will get to be a part of that. Let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Blessed Savior, we are so grateful for your presence in our lives. Today, each and every one of us drew watchwords. Help us to remember that you watch over our hearts, our minds, our actions, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, everyone in all creation, all fall under the watchful eye of God. Gracious God, we ask that you uplift those who are going through a difficult time. We think especially of Bonnie and Karen and Linda Bonnell, who is facing some difficult diagnosis in her cancer treatment and has some difficult days ahead. But help each one of these people know that they are surrounded in love, that they are not alone, that their God and their family and their neighbors will be beside them every step of the way. So when they feel weak, may they lean on your strength and our strength to hold them, and especially the difficult times. Gracious God, we pray for our world right now. so much disagreement, so much hurting, and so much fighting. We think especially of the stabbing that happened at a rabbi's house this past week. We ask that you please guide him to safety and his family on the road to recovery, and help each one of us use these opportunities of hatred to remind us that love is what should define us, love is what should carry us, and love is how we should act towards one another. As we think about this coming year, help us to throw away the burdens and the sins and the mistakes that we have made from this previous year. And remember that your words of repentance, which mean turning around and starting anew. So let us start this new year with a new life, a new will, and just a willingness to carry your compassion into this world like never before. Because we know that your love is capable of changing this world. Because we've already seen the results of it every single day. So help us to breathe easier, knowing that you, God, are making this world a better place. And we are your adopted children every single day. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in a place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel. The people close to his heart, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Missy. Our gospel today comes from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 13 to 23, the escape to Egypt. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, pick the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were two years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then this was fulfilled, what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. And what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your mind, and your action. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chant.
Good morning. So what were those things called
that you guys drew out this morning, those Bible verses, what were those called? Paper. Okay, there's a start. What was it called, Rylan?
Rice paper.
That was something we did in Sunday school. Brandon, it starts with a W. Rylan?
Watchword.
And what's a watchword supposed to do? The definition is in the word. Nick? What's that? To remember God. I think that's good. To watch over us. That's what a watchword does. We use it to remind us that God is watching over us and to remind us of different opportunities in our days. But guess what? There are all different reasons to have watchwords throughout your life. Like, when are the most likely times for you to pray throughout the day? Who prays, like, during dinner or lunch sometimes? Sometimes when you're at church for breakfast, and yep, that's usually the most common times. But guess what? We can remember God in many different times throughout this day. So I'm going to ask each of you, or some of you, to read some of these passages, and I want you to listen to them very carefully, because I'm going to ask you to figure out what they are watchwords for when we're all done reading them. So Nick, would you read this first one, Proverbs 3:24? Yeah, sorry, the text got kind of small on that one. But yeah, that's a good job. So we'll put that one down there. Rylan, would you like to read the next one, Psalm 133?
How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Awesome. Tyler, can you read Matthew 6:34? Can you put that one down? Peyton, would you like to read 1 Corinthians? Let's start right there. It says deceive. Good job. And then the last one, Paige, did you read one? Can you read this one for me, 1 Corinthians? I'll use your help to help me sort these. So which one of these would be a good watchword if you were having, this would never happen in your family, but if you were fighting at your dinner table with your brothers and sisters and you were having a hard time enjoying a family meal, what would be a good watchword for that? Which one is that? That's a close one. Actually, what's another one that's similar to that? Maybe. There you go, Psalms. And what does that one say? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Why would that be helpful if you're having trouble loving each other? What would be helpful about that Bible verse? What would it remind you to do? To love each other, take care of one another. Because if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? And if daddy ain't happy, nobody cares, right? All right, let's see. Let's do one. Let's say if you were about getting ready to run a big race in gym, what would be a good one to pick out for that? Let's see. What does this one say? Do not know that in a race, all runners compete, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win it. Why would that be a good watchword for a race? Aubrey? God still loves you, right? Yep, that's a good reminder. It reminds us that we're running for something more than just ourselves. So let's look and see what we have left here. So let's say you get back from school in 2 weeks. You got a long time until you get back from school. Wait. And your teacher tells you on Monday that you have a huge test on Thursday in your toughest subject, and it's going to be a big test. Which one would be a good one for you? Tyler, which one are you pointing at? Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Why would that be helpful? Aubrey? You can try it again. And guess what? Sometimes in life, difficult things are going to happen. And sometimes worry just makes things twice as difficult. It makes us stack and be concerned about what's going to happen in our life. So let's say you're sitting at your lunch table at school, and you're not sure if somebody in your group of friends is a good influence or not. What would be a good watchword to help you discern that? Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. What does that mean? Paige? So if you hang around with people who are doing bad things, what are you going to do? You're going to become bad too. And if you hang around with people that do good things, what are you going to do? Good. Yeah, that's why you always got to care about who your friends are. And then this last one, obviously you can pick this one. Would be a good one if you had trouble sleeping at night. Does anybody have trouble sleeping at night? I do sometimes too. This is Proverbs 3:24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And that's a good reminder that when we sleep, we can rest easy. So think about all these different Bible verses that you can connect to God, all these different opportunities. And you know what that means? You have to study this book right here. Because in order to find Bible verses that go, that match in your life, you got to know where you're looking. And so that's why the Bible is such an important emphasis for us, so that we know that when we're worried about a test, or we're worried about making friends, or we're worried about getting to sleep, so we know where to go. Because this is our map, and it gives us directions to exactly where we need to go. And we can always find faith in Christ in that. So we're going to take a moment. Let's hold hands and have a moment of prayer. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids. Remind them that they are loved. And help them to know that the greatest Christmas presents they receive are their friends, their families, and their neighbors. And may they unwrap those and enjoy those every day, and may they enjoy their break and their time with their family. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Good job. Not sure if do we have snacks today? Love feast. We got a love feast later today. You got plenty of desserts coming, so enjoy. You may remain seated as we join together in song.
Let us pray. God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us, to inspire us to teach, learn, and live the gospel story that lives within each one of us, because you are the light of our world. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So you can see all the deep notes that I've had the opportunity to take on my sermon this week in the past 6 minutes since I've got this text that I've gotten to preach on. But we'll have some fun with this. I really do like this scripture text that Mr. Brandon picked out for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. He destined us for adoption. And I think about this text, what stood out first to me when I was meditating on this, in the 3 minutes I got to meditate on this, was thinking about the joy in this text. When he's talking about, we were created according to the good pleasure of his will. And we think about it. I always think one of my favorite quotes is, God created us because he thought we would enjoy it. Because he thought life would be awesome. He thought we would take care of one another. He thought we would love one another. He thought this world was a place to be present in. And I think it's important for us as Christians, because we can get so focused on the next life, the afterlife, and how awesome that's going to be. But so often we have so much attention and so much focus on the next world that we forget the gift of the world that we're in now. And guess what? We have eternity for eternity. We have all that time, but we only get a short period of time to be on this earth, to walk with one another, to pray with one another, to experience all the joys that this world has to offer. And I think it is important for us to remember each and every day. And I also think about this text. What I like about it is the universality of it. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. All of us in this passage of Ephesians are adopted. None of us are on a different scale, but we've all been adopted into the family of God. And I think that puts us all on equal footing, and important for us to remember. Because when I think about people who've been adopted, three things really strike me. When you think about somebody who's been adopted, you think about how grateful they are for that opportunity. Often that child has been taken from a difficult circumstance and been put with a family that can love that child, that can care for that child, like that family just wasn't quite able to do. And I always think about the movie The Blind Side when I think about adoption. And I think about how humble Michael Orr grew up in that movie. I always get touched by the scene where they take him to his room for his first time, and they show him what a beautiful room it is. And you could tell that Michael was a little choked up, and his soon-to-be mother says to him, "Well, why are you so choked up? Have you never had a room of your own before?" And Michael Orr kind of stares at her, and he goes, "No, I've never had a bed of my own before." And just looking at all the abundance of stuff that was given to him, and all the gratitude that filled his heart, because he knew the he knew what life, how difficult it was before this family came into his life. And there's always a dose of humility in somebody who's been adopted, because they know the circumstances could easily be reversed. But there's also the fact, sometimes people who are adopted feel like a little less than, but you have to remember, anybody who's been adopted is chosen. That family picked you. That family selected you. And as children of God, each one of us are chosen. We're picked. We're selected. God invited each one of us to be a part of his family. And we truly are lucky, because yes, we are born into it, but we get to choose whether or not to be a part of that. And I hope we choose wisely to be a part of that family of God. Because the truth of the matter is, when you talk to, one of the things that's touched me is the more I've talked to families who've either adopted a child, been adopted, or know somebody who's gone through the process, it feels like every story I hear is powerful. There are a lot of powerful adoption stories out there. And it makes me think about Moravians. We talk about our Lebenslauf, which is our life story, our spiritual story, and how we can connect to that. Because when you hear these stories, it's amazing how many different dots connect in these people's lives. How God literally almost made 1,000 moments come together so that child could have the right family in their lives. And I think about how often we're afraid to share our story when it comes to our spiritual story. Because so often many similar things happen on our spiritual journey. Whether it's finding the right spouse, finding the right job, finding the right moment in our life, where we just have to look and realize that those thousands of moments that came together, those little moments, those just weren't coincidences, were they? They have the fingerprints of God all over them, and we can be grateful for that. So share your powerful stories, your adoption stories, your spiritual stories. And what touched me about this is adoption has such a deep imprint on our congregation. I became more aware of this the more I've served here, but I cannot think of the lady's name. Can anybody, there was a woman who used to be a part of this congregation. What was her name?
Martha.
Martha, okay. And Martha worked, was it a state job or was it a, she had a state job where her job was to align families in the adoption process. And because she was a big part of our congregation, many of our families in this church have been blessed by that. Their family, their children, many of our important members, vital members of this congregation are blessed because of adoption. And we think about that in our own life story when we hold this text, remembering that God adopted us for the good pleasure of His will. And we remember what a blessing it is when we can welcome somebody into our family, into our home, and what a great gift from God that is. And I want to close with an adoption story that I heard. I heard this a few months ago from another pastor. And it really touched me because it talks about God's ability to work through some difficult circumstances. And I'm sure in 2019 and going into 2020, there are some moments in your life that were very joyful, and there are some moments that were very difficult. And you had to make sense of all those different moments, because even if we're faithful, even if we're strong in faith, sometimes it's hard to see some of the positive in the midst of some of the darkness in our life. But this story really touched me, because this pastor told me this story about how him and his wife, 30 or 40 years ago, had adopted this little boy. If you're familiar with your state laws in Ohio, I think it's either 6 weeks or 2 months while you hold that baby, the mother still has the right to come in and say, no, I actually do want to raise that child. And this husband and his wife had taken this boy in for about a couple weeks, and their hearts were broken because this mother's family came in and said, oh, by the way, yeah, we do want to raise the kid. We've changed our mind. So think about what this family went through. They welcomed this little boy into their household, this beautiful, amazing moment, and then it just got snatched away from them. But then this pastor told me he's grateful for so many things in his life, because what happened was this child went back to his family, and the second he went back, he got diagnosed with a terrible ear infection. And he was crying all the time. He was upset all the time. He was basically a colicky baby, not anything you want to see a child go through. If any of you parents have experienced a child with colic, you know how difficult that moment could be. And it got so bad that the birth mother, her grandmother, made her march that child back into that adoption office. And a week later, that family got a phone call, that pastor and his wife, that their son was ready to come back home to them for good. And that pastor tells me that he has never been more grateful for an ear infection in his life than at that moment. And I think about the power of that, that God can work through the ear infection of a baby. And that can turn into a child for a family. And so when we hold this verse in our hearts, He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. Carry that in your heart, that God created you for joy, God created you for the goodwill of humanity, and even if you can't see God working through those ear infections in your life, those difficult moments, have patience, be prayerful about it, because you don't know what door God will be opening with that. Because you may only see the short game, but God God sees the end game. God sees all those connections. So pay attention, because God created you because to enjoy this world. And we are all adopted children of God. So we should be humble about that. We should be grateful about that. And we should be compassionate about that. Because each one of us were chosen. We were picked. And we are welcomed in the kingdom of God. So let us pray, and then we'll enjoy ourselves a good old locust. Gracious God, we call you Father today. Because so much you do in our lives start with when you adopted us as our own, when you welcomed us into your family. And we are so grateful for that. We're even grateful for the difficult circumstances in our lives. The ones that remind us that even in the midst of those struggles, you will find a way to turn them over to the greater good, that you will lead us exactly where we need to be. And help us to pay attention to that. Because in the midst of the struggle, we can't see it, but we know you, God, can see us. So help us to lean on the faith, the hope, and the love that we need. And we think about our own personal watchwords this year. Help us to carry them in our hearts. Help us to use those words to challenge us and to inspire us and to make us rejoice in God in all times and in all places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our hearts and our minds to our love feast. we say grace, we remember that a Moravian Love Feast is the opportunity not to just eat food in church, but to share what's on our hearts and our minds and our souls. So after we get the opportunity to say grace together, I ask that you reflect with your friends and your neighbors on these two questions. What does your watchword mean to you, and how might it help you in this coming year? Let us pray together. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Amen.
Let our voices sing him our praises.
Thank you all for taking the time to share. I heard a lot of good conversation going on. Feel free to finish that up after we wrap up worship today. But a great opportunity to reflect on our watchwords for the coming year. At this time, we're going to turn to our hymns for collecting the cups. celebrate our words of benediction, I'll ask those of you who wore your Christmas sweaters today to stick around. We'll take a picture up front and for the newsletter for all of us. But I will end with our benediction today is actually going to be our congregational watchword for the year. And I want you to hold this in your hearts, because it's not about what we hold just at the beginning of the year, but it's also what we carry in to the end. So he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. May his grace, may his mercy, and may his love abide in you in all times and in all places. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.